Chapter 11, The Father's Lap.
Beautiful children,
God the Father said,
now rest.
Those who had been dancing broke formation and began talking among themselves in small groups. The warmth of their fellowship was as children around an open fire in the presence of a loving father. Epigelius leaned over and spoke to me. Now watch, he said. The children's offering. An angel began to play a simple melody on a recorder as hundreds of children came before the throne. Angels and the redeemed carried the very young in their arms. They led other children by their hands. The children took small bouquets of flowers to Jesus and to the Father. Jesus kissed each child, and both he and the Father talked with them. Huge hands of light came out from the throne area as the Father received the flowers. He touched every child and blessed each one.
Thank you,
the Father said to each child, calling each one of them by name. Epigelius continued to me privately. These are the ones who died young. Instantly, I knew that some of the children had died through miscarriage and some had been aborted. How I knew this, I do not know. Epigelius continued. They are raised to maturity here, both angels and their own brethren, the redeemed, are their tutors. I looked from the children to search Epigelius's face. He saw my perplexity. Anna, many of the mysteries of our God are unfolding now. For some, the book of understanding is open. He looked back at the children. Our God can speak to the spirit of a child from conception. Its spirit can respond from the beginning of life in the womb. I too looked back at the children. I suddenly realized that John the Baptist had responded to the Spirit of the Lord from the womb. If the Holy Spirit can search the mind of God Himself, as the Word says, of course the Spirit can communicate with a child's spirit even before birth. The children who had been aborted presented small branches of henna as a way of showing the Father that they had forgiven those responsible for their deaths, and also asking Him to forgive them as well. As I watched, the magnitude of the fairness of our God overwhelmed me. He had given each child the opportunity to come to Christ, and all who had chosen Him were here. Epigelius spoke. None are lost from the hand of Jesus, Anna, none. Song of the Seraphim. As the children began to leave, the seraphim sang. While looking at the intense light of the Father, my eyes had become more accustomed to the brilliance, I suppose, for as the children began to clear the throne area, I could see more of the throne itself. The throne. Beneath the armrest of the throne, on either side, were two very large cherubim. They were looking out at me through the blazing light. Each cherub seems to be a composite of the four creatures represented in the living creatures. Each had the face of a man, the wings of an eagle, and one portion of each body was that of a lion, and the other part that of an ox. They guarded either side of the throne of God. They were exquisite and so impregnated with light that they were like lightning, with a pale lavender light defining their shape. The throne on which the Father was sitting was bejeweled with intangibles: righteousness, justice, holiness, mercy, and other virtues. The priceless above. Epigellius spoke as he saw me gazing more intently into the light surrounding the throne. "It is the things that are not that are in heaven, Anna." I felt that he meant the things that are not tangible. Epigellius continued, "The priceless is uncreated. These the enemy wants, for their value is beyond gold. He will give mere gold and silver for them, but it is not a fair exchange. Wisdom, prudence, joy, peace, truthfulness, faithfulness, these adorn the throne of the Almighty One. Mere jewels cannot compare. The streets here are gold, but faith is a jewel beyond compare, mercy a commodity more precious than diamonds." I looked into the awesome light of our God. "Daddy," I whispered again. The Father. Within the resplendent light, part of my Father's form could be seen. I could see what appeared to be his feet, and that which looked like a garment falling in drapes to the sea of glass. Flashes of lightning were in this garment. Within the searing light, I could see something of his hands and the loose sleeves covering his arms. Above his waist, the light emanating from him was so blinding in its intensity, purity, and holiness that I could see no further. As Jesus was handing the last baby back to an angel who would carry it from the throne room, my Father spoke to me. "Anna, my child," he said. Jesus turned to smile at me. Epigellius gestured for me to move forward, closer to the throne, standing before the Father. I did so, rubber-legged, moving nearer to that all-consuming light. After I got to the area where the children had been, I dropped to my knees and bowed my face to the sea of glass. Jesus stepped over to me and helped me to rise, strengthening me as he did so. "My sister is here to see you, Father." As I rose to my feet, the Father's arms of light came out from all that splendor and picked me up, lifting me high into the air. The action seemed as natural as a father picking up his child. Our Father's lap. He set me on his lap. I was so overwhelmed with love and gratitude and relief that without thinking, I held up my arms and buried my face into the light. The response was like that of a child who would bury its face in its parents' clothing. "Daddy," I said, sensing peace, unbelievable peace. "You are precious to me, Anna."
"I love you, Daddy."
"And I love you, Anna," he said, drawing me closer. As we sat there, enjoying one another, he began to address my innermost thoughts. Hope. He said,
Those who are called to draw near to me will share in my peace. But only those who have hope have peace, continual peace. If hope is gone, the soul is tossed to and fro, seeking safe harbor. Anna, I want my children's eyes set on me, hoping in me, not looking at the passing panorama of earthly events being played out before them. I want them to look beyond, to look up, to see at last the distant shore to which they are sailing, filling their hearts and minds, their eyes and ears with me. This will bring the hope that gives peace.
I sat up and looked into the greater light of the area that would be his face if I could have seen it, deeper into God. My father continued,
"If they delight in me, Anna, their desires will carry them deeper into me. Then, as they are drawn into me, so will they leave the earth's orbit in greater and greater degrees. Soon, like gravity, the pull from my realm, the desire for me to know me and to experience the eternal while in the temporal, will become so strong that they will be set free from earth's orbit and will be drawn more and more swiftly into mine. I do not wish to dwell in a dark cloud any longer. I want my children to know their Father. I want them to see me and hear me, for I'm a loving God to them, Anna, and I care for every breath they take. Truth, who is my son, came into the world. Many have seen and walked out of the prison doors. But my son came to reveal me. Now that revelation will become present reality, the unfolding, the accomplishment of that earthly mission, which began with the unveiling of my son, will reach a present clarity unaccomplished before."
Vision of troubled waters. I saw a hand moving back and forth in a pool of water, disturbing any clear reflection from being seen.
"As the waters of mankind become more and more troubled," my father said, "the spiritual pool will become clearer."
Then I saw a hand held over a clear pool and reflected perfectly within the water.
"My children will know me. Will you help me, Anna?"
Offered a responsibility. "If you need me, Daddy," I said.
"I have raised you up in this hour to see into the heavenly realm, to fly in the rarefied air with the white eagle, to rest in the eagle's nest, and to taste of the delights that are to come by eating from my hand, so that you may eat and others digest what you have eaten."
"How, Daddy?"
"By giving them hope, by allowing them to see and experience through your eyes and experiences. I will say through you, hope. For I am doing a new thing in these days. All who hunger and thirst for me will eat and drink. You will be my chancellor."
"Like of the exchequer?" I blurted out before I knew it, for I'd only heard the term mentioned in these days on the British Broadcasting Corporation.
"No," my father laughed, "my secretary."
"Oh," I said, relieved, for I thought I might be able to handle a secretarial assignment. "With the Lord's help," I quickly added to myself. Letters from home. My father continued,
"You will tell of what you have seen and heard. You will reveal my heart and give hope by revealing home to others. Your words will be like letters from home to those in the field. When a soldier is on the battlefield, a letter from home telling of the people and the places of home gives a soldier great hope. He keeps going because he longs for home and realizes that he is greatly loved. Hope, Anna, is a gift to mankind. Without hope, they languish.
Why have you chosen me, Daddy?
Because you are simple, Anna, and know little. Before the foundations of the world, I called you, not because you are wise or intelligent, but because I delight in you. My son delights in you. The Holy Spirit delights in you. And I have brought you to myself this day to ask for your help.
Yes, of course I will help you, I said. But Daddy, please help me to refrain from sinning against you. I want to represent you truly. Please keep me pure so that I might not defile this gift or the trust that you have placed in me. Only in him. I continued listening to my father speak to me.
In him, Anna. In my son, I trust only in him. It is his life, his ministry, and the work of the Holy Spirit through you. My dear child, you are completely untrustworthy. As the life of my son increases within you, it appears that you are more trustworthy, but actually it is only him. It always will remain only him.
He paused briefly before continuing.
Now, Anna, you must give yourself time to be with me. Chancellors must grow in their duties and anointing and authority. My child, my heart is turned toward the children. Show them my heart that they may turn toward me.
He picked me up from his lap and placed me before him on the sea of glass as he said,
Now stand before me.
The awesome convocation. Within the throne room, something tremendous seemed to be happening. From all directions, there was a great gathering of angels converging upon the throne area. Some that were flying had wings, some did not. There seemed to be myriads and myriads of angels aloft within the throne room, and those within the radiance joined them. A ripple of sound began near the throne and moved out through the angelic ranks. As the tone increased, singing began until it reached a crescendo at the outer edges of the heavenly host who was in flight. It was as though whatever originated near the throne passed through the others, allowing the singing to swell and be released outward. The sound was exhilarating.
Praise you beyond the highest heaven. Praise you beyond the lowest down. Praise you for your loving presence. Praise you for your judgments blessed. Praise you, sun and moon. Sing your praises, Father, maidens, praise your holy Son. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we adore you. Finish now what you've begun. Started long ago, hallelujah. When together we did sing. Hallelujah. Blessed Father, Son, and Spirit, to you, O God, our praise we bring.
The redeemed joined the chorus.
Children sing your praises, Father, and maidens praise your holy Son.
Angels without number began blowing trumpets. The sound was awesome, electrifying, glorious. As the trumpets sounded, everyone present began to proclaim fervently, never been a part of anything so powerful. It took my breath away. At the end of the proclamation, the elders threw down their crowns and fell on their faces before the throne, and so did the four living creatures and all the redeemed and angels who were on the sea of glass within the throne room. I too fell on my face before God, for who could stand? The angels aloft held their places at attention. Then, one lone shofar blew. It seemed that the sound echoed throughout heaven. As the sound died away, fire and peals of thunder and lightning began to belch from the throne. God Almighty spoke, "Stand to your feet, Anna." I stood, but I was trembling. Everyone else stood also.